When was the last time you took a selfie? An hour ago? A week ago? If you're asking, what's a selfie? Maybe the answer is never. Or maybe you know all about selfies, but God, you just can't bring yourself to say the word out loud. Selfie, a term for a self-portrait, usually snapped on a digital camera or a smartphone with arm outstretched, is 2013's word of the year, according to Oxford Dictionaries. If you're cringing, stay with me. Though selfies have gotten a bad rap as the crowning achievement of a narcissistic, self-absorbed, self-obsessed youth culture, our guest points out young people didn't actually invent the selfie. Casey Sepp is a freelance writer from the Eastern Shore of Maryland. In a piece entitled In Praise of the Selfie in the magazine Pacific Standard, she argues that today's selfies spring off a long, rich tradition of self-portraiture. Welcome to The Takeaway, Casey.
Thanks so much for having me, Anna.
So talk us through this history. Who invented the selfie? Where did the word come from, and where did the idea of a selfie come from?
Sure. I mean, Oxford Dictionaries dates it to 2002, and they're talking about this purely abbreviated form, selfie. But I think it's absolutely appropriate to connect it to the history of self-portraiture, which is an age-old human impulse. I mean, again, selfies, that word is a recent phenomenon, but the impulse to document ourselves and to give representation to our own appearance is something that's been around since the history of art. And in the essay that I wrote, I tried specifically to connect it to a tradition that was really transformed in the Renaissance, where suddenly you had all sorts of painters and artists striving to represent themselves and not only courtly subjects. So again, we're talking about a very, very long sweep of human history.
But let's talk about today's selfies, the ones that show up on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Why do you think they're worthy of cultural praise?
You know, I think we're living in an age of memoir and autobiography, and for me, selfies are the visual equivalent. So it seems to me that, again, if you think historically, there was a time in which the autobiographies of kings and queens and members of court were interesting, but the rest of us were told our lives didn't have the same significance. And if you apply that to visual art, again, we used to live in an age where only celebrities or heads of state merited portraiture. And now we're in an age where everyone feels like their life, their appearance, their embodiment in the world is worth documenting. And, you know, I think that is something we should celebrate.
And you make an interesting point in your piece about women and selfies in particular. You argue that they're empowering.
Absolutely. I mean, I think self-portraiture is certainly a genre in which women in particular have excelled. And I think, if you reflect on the history of art, for so long, the male gaze fixed women on the canvas, the page, the screen, and then suddenly self-portraiture allowed women to challenge that gaze. You know, these were women who were not only artists, but they made themselves into subjects. And in the piece, I mentioned some of my favorite female self-portrait artists. And if you think of Cindy Sherman, Frida Kahlo, Nan Golden, these were all women who, you know, they didn't use the word selfie. They would have used the more formal self-portraiture. But these were women who were taking selfies and making selfies and using themselves as subjects for their work.
But isn't today's selfie where you put it up on Facebook and or Instagram and then watch kind of obsessively and compulsively to see who likes it and who comments on it? That doesn't feel like an empowering exercise.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think two things are different. I mean, it's certainly the case that technological innovation have made selfies not only easy and affordable, but also sort of infinite. So, you know, if you talk about someone like Frida Kahlo, she produced a certain number of portraits, but canvas and paint and time were all valuable and rare, and so there's a smaller number. Where today we're all able to produce, you know, if we wanted to, hundreds or thousands of selfies every single day. And I think you're right, too, that there's a sense that there's an obsession with the way in which they're received. But I think we're kidding ourselves if we don't think that someone like Cindy Sherman cares very much and obsesses over the kind of reception her work receives. So again, I think there's a way in which we can be unnecessarily critical of the amateur effort and fail to appreciate that the same anxieties and desires exist even for the rarefied artists whose work we espouse.
For me, I'm all about the selfie if it's a joint selfie, if it's like me and a friend or me and my boyfriend out and about. But the solo selfie, I've tried to do it. I tried when I voted to do a voter selfie. We were collecting voter selfies. And I was watching to see who was coming down the street to make sure I could take it with no one watching. I mean, there's something fundamentally embarrassing about it, don't you think?
I think there can be. So a couple of things. You know, one of the things that I talk about in the piece is the sense that a selfie is always about not only how you see yourselves, but you wish for other people to see you. And so, you know, not to psychologize you, Anna, but I would say it sounds to me like you're very interested in people knowing that you're not, you know, a solo hermit, that in fact you have friends, you have a
I'm not
partner,
alone in the
you
world,
have
people.
people.
Yeah.
Right. So that would be what I suspect is very important to you. Where, you know, for someone else, the importance might be, you know, I'm taking my own picture on the top of a mountain because it means I'm an adventurous person who is out and about in nature. Or, you know, the person who takes his or her picture in front of the bookshelf, it doesn't matter that he or she lacks for friends. It matters only that, you know, he or she has an extraordinary library. So I think, you know, it's certainly the case that we will all have impulses we seek to honor in our selfies. For some people, the anxiety isn't social, but it's academic or it's cosmetic. And so, what matters more than the number of friends who appear with you or the place in which you stage the photo is simply, you know, how your mascara looks or, you know, the quality of shirt you're wearing. So, we're talking about different impulses for different people. I mean, I agree with you. To me, there is something more important in documenting the other people in my life. And that's what makes selfies worth returning to. But I don't dismiss that for others. There's some more important impulse they're honoring.
And when was the last time that you selfied?
Well, you know, I think you guys are going to be putting them up on the websites. So I sent in two, one of which was that kind of self-constructed idea I was just talking about. And what I did was take my picture in front of books because one of the things that matters most to me is the literature in my life. And so, how else to document that, but to stack the books literally around me. So it's not just me, but my books. And then in the spirit of the selfie, I took one right before this interview. So you'll see me sort of bleary-eyed and sleepy. And that's a more authentic, you know, what did I look like just before I got on the radio? Why is it better that we're on the radio and not on television? Well, you can see it in that selfie.
Casey Sepp, a writer from the Eastern Shore of Maryland and a proud defender of the selfie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Of course, thanks again for having me.